Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Hello, folks. How is your plant world doing here on Veterans Day? Well, if you'd like to talk about it, you can simply give us a call, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. And as we lead off every Saturday morning, it'll be the Good Gardening Stroll. But first, I want to thank Scott for his newscast. And afterwards, he's going to head out of the studio. He's got to go in and do all kinds of other work as well. So what is impacting the trees, your perennials, those shrubs? How come some things are still in flower? Oh, my gosh, it's unbelievable. And hopefully you brought all the stuff inside as far as tropical houseplants and things like that. If they you left them outside, they don't look so good. And what can you be doing? Can you do some pruning this time of year? Can you do some transplanting? Well, we can certainly talk about it. I'll share my knowledge to help you make a good decision. But the action you take is going to be strictly up to you. And please remember, this is your show, and I appreciate you hearing about your plant world from us, me. Another very important player is Drew. He's producing, so when you call, he will answer the phone, and he just needs your first name. He puts it up on the computer screen, and then we go from there. I'm Mike Miller. I've been hosting the Garden Hotline since 1994. And I can come to your plant world for an on-site consultation. I call it a walk and talk. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. The homepage has my email address and phone number. Well, let's get strolling. This walk is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Loyalty, sacrifice, vision, courage. Those are the titles of the four statues that are on the north and south side of the Soldiers Memorial, which is part of the Missouri Historical Society. And it sits between 13th and 14th Pine and Chestnut. Foundation plantings around the building include everything from cat mint to some oak leaf hydrangeas, yes, some boxwood. And there's other things as well. Originally, this was the City of St. Louis Soldiers Memorial, and it was dedicated on May 30th, 1938, and it was dedicated to the war dead. The current exhibit is Vietnam, at war and at home, and it runs through May 2024. The plaza across the, across Chestnut, there's a plot of lawn. There's liriope, there's trees, there's shrubs. There's a memorial listing for all those who made the supreme sacrifice, and then a court of honor. And remember, this whole area is a smoke-free zone. There's a giant anchor there dedicated in May 22nd, 2004 to the National Maritime Day. And it's just everything is just there's going to be a race, there's going to be a parade, there's going to be all kinds of stuff going on today. So it's going to be quite the scenario, needless to say. Myself, I am a veteran. I was a Vietnam War veteran from 69 to 73. And Air Force. What I did is I read aerial photography. When the B-52s did bombing runs in Vietnam, they took pictures, and then we analyzed the pictures to see how well they did as far as controlling the what they wanted to get rid of. And then when I was stateside, that was when I was in Guam, and when I was stateside, basically aerial photography only was with satellites, and we were using satellite photography to watch all countries across the world to see if they were building any kind of nuclear circumstances, industrial-type things. So we were taking pictures of every basic industrial site that was changing or that was being built and watching it and seeing how it was changing and then doing an analysis of that. So veterans, yes. Then after I got out of the Air Force or the U.S. government paid for my college. So that was kind of fun as well. So if you do have any questions, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's go ahead and talk to Jane before we take a break. Hi, Jane.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you for your service with the Air Force.
Sure.
last year, I planted a dwarf blue spruce tree. It's about 3 feet tall, and it's perfectly shaped. It was doing real well until Sunday night when a buck worked it over. So bunches of the branches on one side were ripped off, and about a four-inch section of the trunk got the bark ripped off, so it's bare wood. And my question is it going to survive?
It may survive, but aesthetically, it will probably never be what you anticipate.
Okay. And branches will not come out of the trunk where they were ripped off, will they?
No.
I didn't think
not.
So. I didn't think so.
They'll just be big holes in, you know, in that spot.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So, okay. Well, you answered my question.
Yeah. So in other words, it's ruined.
Yeah, it sure is. Doggone it. Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure. My pleasure. And why don't we go ahead and do Bob before we take a break? Hi, Bob.
Hi, Mike. This is last week you said something about chilling the new bushes and that. The wife didn't understand what you were saying. What was that all about?
I didn't quite understand what your question was.
The wife said last week you mentioned about covering the new bushes and that, and I was wondering how you done that.
Oh, basically, well, I don't have any new plantings as far as shrubs or anything goes. But what I was saying is you could protect them with burlap or something along that line. Don't put bags of plastic or, you know, plastic sheets or anything, but just something to offer a little bit of protection from any kind of the harsher winds.
All right. How about a bucket?
So burlap or landscape fabric or something like that, and just, you know, wrap it around. You can use stakes and wrap it around it just to offer a little bit of, you know, protection from the wind chill factor.
That's it. Do I leave the top open?
Yeah.
Just wrap it around and make a little cover around it then, huh?
Exactly. Just something to offer a little bit of a windbreak, even if there's not any wind.
I was going to make up something, but she couldn't realize what it was, so. I'll see if I can get something. Thank you.
Sure. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. If you have any questions or concerns, we'll be back after these messages. Yes, folks, welcome to Veterans Day, and let's head over to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for your service.
Sure.
So I could spend all day asking you questions, but the first question I have is I've planted some bulbs in pots, and everything I've read said that they need to be kept like in a garage or someplace like that. I've got them on my back porch, which is covered, but it's not heated. Do you think that they'd be okay there?
They should be. It's covered and not heated, so just don't, you know, is it a concrete?
It's concrete screened in porch.
Okay.
Elevated.
They should be okay. Just make sure that they don't go totally dry during the wintertime. And when you're talking okay. about bulbs, are we talking about daffodils and tulips?
A few other things, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they should be okay in that situation.
Okay, and I've also planted some in the ground. I've also planted some perennials. And with the dry weather we're having, should I continue to water the perennials?
Definitely. Okay. Especially anything that's, you know, newly installed or transplanted or whatever, because they need to get their root system established before. I mean, we've already had a couple cold snaps, but
right.
The ground temperature is still, you know, fairly warm. And then with Scott talking about the upcoming weather, we've had a couple cold. You know, today was the coldest day that I can remember as far as obviously this fall, but. It's going to get back up into the 60s and 70s. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right later this week, yes.
Right.
Okay. All righty. Thank you so much for your time, and thanks for being on for us.
Sure. And now let's go to Kent's yard. Hi, Kent.
How are you doing today, Mike?
Hi. Go ahead.
I had a quick question for you. Yes. I had a quick question for you. I have a crepe myrtle that's about 6 years old, and it's been perfectly fine. I came home the other day, and the leaves were all wilted up. I mean, just like they're still on there, but they're crunchy, and the limbs, you can just break them off with your hand. I don't know if that was from dry weather or that little frost we had. I don't know if you had any thoughts on what I should do.
Well, the branches shouldn't, the weather should not impact the branches. The leaves, yes. The leaves could, be on the downhill side as a result of that cold snap we had. But I wouldn't be overly concerned if it was healthy up to that point. Just leave it alone.
All right. That sounds good. Thank you.
Yes. And then in this, as we come out of wintertime, if you start to see some branches that don't start leafing out, then go ahead and, prune those out. And you can prune all the way up until, let's say, probably maybe late March, early April. But after that time, then there's going to be some bud formation as far as the flowering goes because they're summer flowers. And you can do some pruning now if you want to. You can't. You don't have to wait. So let's go now over to Bill's yard. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Mike. Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
Two questions. One, I live in St. Charles. I have two burning bushes in the front of my house. It's a ranch house, and they're directly in front of the both windows. And they've grown. I've been there about 8 years. They've grown up just right above the window, so I'd say, 6 feet or maybe, I guess high.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're shaped, round. I was wondering, can I cut those back? I'd like to bring them. I mean, they're really healthy. They're not real great in the back because, they're kind of up against the house. But
right.
The front size, everything's really, I've never had any issues with them. Is there any way I could just kind of this winter, I don't know if there's a right time, can I take those down kind of below the window line?
Yeah, you can certainly do that.
Oh, okay. So you can't take that much off.
Yeah. I mean, just be really careful, when you're cutting them. The stems that are remaining are, let's say, fairly large in relationship to the ones that had the leaves that you're cutting off. So in other words,
sure.
You just have to be cautious that there's going to be some functional, foliage buds that can push out some new growth next spring.
Okay. So when should I, they're turning red now. They look really great. So I wait till all the leaves are off and do it or?
Yeah, that's, you might as well get the aesthetics or if, I don't know how cold it was, if it's gonna knock all the leaves off of them as a result of just last night's cold.
Yeah. Well, I'll keep an eye on it. But so maybe, like I said, if we get a nice day in December, I was thinking of just going out there and, just pruning them back.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. And then one last quick question. It's actually for a friend who lives over in the Clayton area. They have liriope going up their sidewalk. And I was over there all summer trying to help them with some other projects. And it's a thick thatch on both sides, but constantly with grass, not weeds, but more of a grassy thing growing up. And we pulled and pulled and pulled and just kept coming back. Is there anything we should do or can put in there that won't kill the liriope that may kill the grass? Or should we just dig out and start over? It's quite a long walkway, so I think it'd be a big project, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know, the unfortunate thing is if this was an annual, you know, grassy weed that's coming up, like annual bluegrass or something along that line, then you can put a pre-emergent down in the springtime, and that will help control it because it's coming back from seed. But if this is a perennial grass, it's migrated from the lawn or from something else, there's really not too much you can do because,
okay, so, yeah,
because of the blades are similar to grass, so you can't use a grass killer to kill the grass.
Weird. Yeah. Okay. So what about taking, like, just swaths out, I guess, hunks out, and putting new liriope in? It'll spread, I assume.
Well, it can. You have to use a liriope spicata. That's a spreading one.
Okay.
And if you get muscari, that's just a clump grower, so it won't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, this is spreading because, like I said, we have to keep it out of the grass, you know, edge and stuff like that.
Right.
So it definitely spreads.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's kind of a tough, you know, tough circumstance for sure.
Yeah, it is. It may just be time to take it out and start over. All right, Mike. I appreciate your service and I appreciate your show every Saturday. Love it.
Sure. Thanks a lot. And now let's go over to Gary's yard. Hi, Gary.
Good morning, Mike. You may have answered this question already, but I really didn't like the answer, so I'm going to ask again anyway. I worked pretty hard this late summer and fall putting in a new backyard in bluegrass and creeping red fescue, and I'm really getting tired of watering it. Are we late enough in the year that I can let it go?
Was it sod or seed?
Seed.
Oh. I'd be really cautious about letting it go through any kind of drought stress because that's going to, you know, cause some real problems. So I would say you should probably keep watering.
Okay. I kind of thought that's what you're going to say. And you just triggered another question. I was going to put on a pre-emergent this spring for the crabgrass, but is that going to limit the bluegrass and the creeping red?
No, because it's already germinated. So Basically, you know, pre-emergents only kill things as they're basically germinating. If something's already up and growing, then it should have minimal impact unless it's just, you know, just germinated.
Now, you triggered it when you said the previous gentleman, when you said the bluegrass comes back from seed. I didn't know if it kind of reseeded itself every year and thickened up that way.
Well, this is an annual bluegrass. This is a weedy bluegrass. This is not the classic bluegrass that we buy, you know, as sod or that type thing.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it much.
My pleasure. And we do have phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. I'll be back after these messages.
Like the roses, she'd grow them.
Yes, folks, we have some phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We'll head over to Tricia's yard. Hi, Tricia.
Teresa,
yes.
Yes. Yeah, my question is pawpaw trees. During the winter, I know under the harsh sun, they need protection when they're young. But this time of year and throughout the winter, is that true then too?
No, they're pretty tough.
Okay, even though they're young.
Right. Well, how young is young?
Okay. Oh, I just planted them a few. Well, I have six of them, but two of them I just planted a few months ago, and they're tiny. They're about a foot tall.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really, you know, anything that you can do that's going to make that much difference. Just make sure that if we continue to have these dry spells, that you keep, especially the newly installed ones, you make sure that they got moisture. Because moisture, you know, insulates a root system, and that prevents any kind of damage from dry soil. Because dry soil means air, cold air can sink down in there and kill some of the feeder roots.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, so it should be okay, but then give them more protection from the hot, blazing sun of the summer, correct?
Right.
Okay. All right, thank you. That was my only question.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty tough, and they can, I mean, the hot, blazing sun can do a little bit of damage, but they're tough plants.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. Again, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. This is a time of year when you don't know what's going on in your ground. You don't know what your soil is like. You don't know what's going to need fertilization, what kind of fertilizer you should have, what you should use. You got to get a soil test done. The University of Missouri Extension Service does the soil testing. It's about $25. There's a drop-off spot in Kirkwood, and you can contact the University of Missouri Extension Service and find out about taking the samples. Basically, what you need is to take a separate sample from different areas in your landscape that you're concerned with. So in other words, your lawn, front yard lawn, backyard lawn. And you want to get soil. You don't want a whole bunch of, let's say, grass blades if it's in the lawn or roots or anything like that. You want the soil, and you want about a Ziploc bag full, and then you're going to find out what there is there. And especially, I keep reminding people every week of this, but if you've consistently used the same fertilizer for several years in a row, then you may have extravagant levels of certain nutrients that can be detrimental rather than helpful. So in other words, fertilizing doesn't necessarily guarantee success. Sometimes over-fertilization of the wrong kind can do damage as opposed to doing or helping the plants. So if you've been using certain fertilizers with the last two numbers that are relatively high, like a triple 12 or even above that, so phosphorus and potassium, the last two numbers, the main three numbers that are usually on fertilizers, and those phosphorus and potassium extreme levels, which can occur over a couple years of usage, can be detrimental to any kind of plant that you're trying to grow, but especially like bluegrass. Let's go and see what's going on with Mary Jane. Hi, Mary Jane.
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
I have hydrangeas, a lot of hydrangeas on the side of the house. And last year, they were absolutely beautiful, just, you know, the purples and the pinks. This year, not a one bloomed. Not sure what happened. And now they are, it looks like part of them got frost
right
on them during that thing. So, like, the fronts of they're against the house and the side of the house. So several of the branches are, you know, looking kind of nasty. So when should I prune these things, and why didn't they bloom? I want to make sure they bloom next year.
Basically, nothing you could have done to guarantee that there was going to be a bloom, because a lot of the hydrangeas throughout the entire region suffered the same thing that yours did, and that was because we had a cold snap in the fall, last fall, and that's what screwed the flowering as far as with the hydrangeas. There was other plants that were impacted as well, but hydrangeas were impacted adversely for sure.
Wow. Okay. So it wasn't just me.
No.
Okay. So these ones that are all frostbitten, basically, should I cut those stems off or just the leaves?
You can just leave them. I mean, if it's an aesthetic call, the leaves are going to fall off anyway, as you know.
Right.
So if you want to go ahead and, you know, take them off, but you don't necessarily have to do any kind of pruning on them as far as the stems go. So I would say just kind of leave them alone.
Okay. I was thinking, all right, well, maybe because I didn't prune last year, that's why they didn't bloom.
No, it had nothing to do with that.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll just leave them look not very pretty for right now.
Now, right. Are these summer bloomers?
Yeah, they're the, what is it, endless color?
Endless summer or whatever.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah, so if you do decide to do some pruning, just make sure you get it done before any kind of new growth foliage-wise begins in the springtime.
Okay, because they are getting huge and they're kind of over, getting a little bit over the sidewalk that goes by it. So
right.
I would like to trim them back a little bit.
So you got a couple months to get it done.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. It's always enjoyable listening.
Well, thank you. And Marie, how are you today?
Wonderful. Thank you. I had a question about my fescue seed not germinating. I sow it very well, and I straw it down. I keep it watered. The wheat seems to grow, come up and germinate, but sometimes not any of my fescue, and sometimes it's just fescues just sparsely. And I read or heard, and you can't believe everything online, that the farmers are putting a herbicide or something that may affect the germination of the seed. Is that true?
I've never heard of that, and that's not to say it's not true, but no, that's not the case. So probably I would say stay away from the straw.
Okay, how do you keep it that's on a slope? How do you keep it from washing?
Well, the straw is not really going to keep it from washing, so you just have to kind of understand that.
Okay.
So the straw just can create a circumstance with humidity where the seed can germinate. It's still small enough that you're not noticing it. And then consequently, humidity can, create a fungus circumstance, and it can kill it off and lead you to believe that it just didn't germinate. But really what happened, it germinated and then was killed off by the humidity, especially if you put the straw on pretty thick.
I've never had this problem before. In the past, I have sowed and strawed for years, and it seemed like this is just a recent problem.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, I will try that then. Thank you, Mike. Have a wonderful day.
Sure. Just, rake it and cover it with, about a quarter or a half inch of compost, and I would probably do that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure, my pleasure.
Bye-bye.
And we do have phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We'll be back after these messages.
I'd like to be under the sea. An octopus's garden in the shade.
Yes, folks, we have phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Tracy and I were in a store the other day, and I noticed they had a lot of cyclamen, which is a house plant, basically. There is a hardy variety of cyclamen, which when I worked at the Botanical Garden in the English Woodland Garden, we had a stand of that. But these are more or less the tropical cyclamen. That's one of my favorite plants for this time of year. And what you want to do is if you do like the cyclamen and you do purchase one, they need to have a cooler temperature situation. And a bright light as well. So they can take an unheated porch. That's cool, unless it gets below freezing. And if it does, which I don't think it would be the case. But one thing you need to do as well is keep the soil, the potting mix, moist, not overly wet. And they do appreciate a regular fertilization while they're in flower. So let's head over to Sherry's yard. Hi, Sherry.
Yes, hi. This is an inside plant. And in the base of the plant, it seems like it is building up too much water, and it dies off, and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not watering. I haven't watered in a whole month, and it's still doing that.
Now, what makes you think it's a watering circumstance then?
Because it's mushy at the bottom. It's mushy at the base of the plant, and it looks like it's rotten.
So it sounds like the pot that it's growing in doesn't have any drainage hole in the bottom.
Let me look. Okay.
And if that's the case, you need to get a pot with a drainage hole in the bottom, and then you can get a saucer and put a saucer underneath it.
It has the drainage holes at the bottom, and the bottom, the it's a pot within a pot.
Okay.
And it shows no moisture or anything, but the rest of the plant is half of the plant that's doing this. The other half is fine.
Well, you know, I don't understand how the potting mix, unless you got potting soil instead of a potting mix.
Oh, that's what it is.
Because potting soil holds moisture.
Okay.
So in the future, make sure you get a potting mix.
Okay. So should I just take all of the soil around it off?
And yes, then... I would.
Okay. Okay. And then I have a lily plant, and it seems everywhere I put it, it burns. So should I just put it in a dark room? Because I put it in the bathroom, the leaves are burning. I put it in the living room where it had the blocked windows, the leaves are burning. So should I just put it in a room that doesn't have the windows open at all?
You mean as far as letting sunlight in?
Yeah.
That shouldn't really be happening. So to me, again, it goes back to moisture related to causing the foliage problem. It's not anything related to the sun.
So it would cause it to burn like that because they're burning at all the tips. Even the young leaves that are coming in have burnt tips.
Right. And that's because of the moisture in the in the potting mix or potting soil that you're growing it in.
Wow. It came from the store like this.
Well, that's unfortunate, but if this is happening in all these different circumstances, to me, that doesn't say sunlight. That says a situation, and especially if this is, in a houseplant inside of a window, that's would have to be some intense sun before it's going to actually cause the foliage to be damaged like you're discussing.
Wow.
Or disgusting. Disgusting.
I'm disgusting. Doing this to these plants.
Right.
Okay. Well, thanks so much. This has been a big help. So I'll get some potting mix today then.
Yes. Good luck with that. And David, could you do it kind of quick?
Yeah, we got planted a big wildflower patch. And I'm thinking about, I'm taking it all down now. Should I throw these on the mulch pile, or will these seeds start germinating through all that mulch?
In mulch, that's probably not the best thing you can possibly do. So just cut it. They have seed heads on them?
Yes.
I would say just, cut the seed heads and just let them drop out, drop where they are growing.
Okay. Beat them off there, then throw the rest in the pile.
Right, exactly. Throw the stem and, any of the foliage and all that other stuff. But, leave the seed heads there.
Good, then I don't have to buy any next year.
Hopefully so.
Okay, that was quick for you.
All right, great. Well, thanks. Yeah, and... I don't think, Jeff, unfortunately, I don't think we can get you in time. So you can go. Oh, okay. Go ahead, Jeff, then.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Somebody called in and said they couldn't get rid of grass out of their liriope, but there is a product that works. It's called Grass Be Gone. And it's one of those selective grass killers. And liriope is not a grass. It won't hurt liriope. So you can actually kill it. And if it's a perennial, you got to spray it a couple times, but it beats pulling it. And you actually can control grassy weeds in liriope.
Wow, great. Well, thanks for the insight.
Okay. Like your show, Mike.
Oh, well, thank you. So Grass Be Gone. And if you're heading out to your favorite garden center and you find that they still have tulip bulbs available, you can still plant your tulips. This is the time of year the tulips want to be installed. The other spring flowering bulbs like daffodils and crocus and hyacinths and things like that could be you should have installed them a little bit later. But tulips, for some reason, they like to be planted later in the season when the ground has really started to cool down. And then there's just with the tulips, you want to put them down about 4 inches or so. And you just want to make sure that the location that you put them in is very well drained. And that's with any of the bulbs. None of the bulbs really like a wet soil circumstance. So once, if the soil is too wet, it's going to be like the lady that called that was having trouble with a lot of her plants, you know, potted plants. It's just because there's too much moisture, and so they can't take that. You can go to your favorite garden center, too, and trees and shrubs can still be planted now. There's not a problem doing that at all. So 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120.
Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Thank you, Scott. And this is the KMOX Garden Hotline. Tip of the Trowel Hour, which is a special on-air recognition for individual, group, or situation that's made an impression on me during this past week. And it's brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. But right now, if you have any ideas, questions, concerns, or comments, just give us a call. Drew will answer the phone. He just needs your first name, and then he'll get you up on the computer screen, and then I can talk to you in a couple minutes. And again, that phone number is 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Tip of the trowel goes out to all the people that are working to make this Veterans Day just as cool and fun as possible. And, you know, one thing that I kind of have missed is my father was a Navy veteran, and this is a time of year where he sold, which he wasn't really a public type person, but they had little poppies. Red poppies is a symbol for actually World War II, as in Flanders Fields, there's, you know, so red poppies was, it's a poem. And they just kind of, it was a symbol for World War I, and they just continued on Veterans Day to sell these. And they were plastic with a wire stem, and you just kind of, it just was to the advantage. It helped the veterans out in general, but I have not seen them in the last 2 years, so I don't know if that's a tradition that's no longer, that happens or not. So anyway, my father, you know, one of the few things that he actually did, you know, from a public circumstance. And another thing related to Veterans Day is just all the people that are downtown for Soldiers Memorial and everything else. There's quite a nice gathering. Everything seems really pretty calm and peaceful, though, so you don't have to worry about being over-impacted by the crowd. And by the way, thanks for inviting me onto your show, where discussions can range from making a selection of a plant material for a specific location, how to care for it, how big it's going to get, should you be putting it there in the first place, or are you going to have to constantly be pruning on it or anything else? How about the pansies? They can handle it pretty well as far as the cool weather. If it gets super cold, then they're going to be gone. But the herbs still look good. Rosemary looks very good. And fruit trees, evergreens, ground covers, perennials, cascading houseplants. How about your warm season zoysia grass? Should be getting pretty brown by now. And your roses. I'm surprised as I walk through the neighborhood, there are still several roses that are still in bloom. And I mean, really looking good. And it's not just the knockout roses, it's the traditional type roses too. Now, they're in protected locations, close to houses and things like that, but it's really kind of a nice surprise to see that bright, these were, you know, red roses. And please remember, my answers, comments, and opinions is not the only garden path for you to take, but strictly offered for you to consider. And another very important player is Drew. He's producing. He answers the phone, so just your first name, that's all he needs. And then he'll put you up onto the computer screen, and I'll get to you. First come, first serve. I'm Mike Miller, hosting the Garden Hotline since 1994. And If you'd like for me to come to your home for an on-site consultation, which I call a walk and talk, you can go to my website. Homepage will have my email address and phone number. And that, as I said before, the tip of the trowel just goes out to all the people that are doing all the work related to Veterans Day today. And let's go now to the phones. We can get let's head over to Gloria's. Hi, Gloria.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm fighting with all these bare spots in my yard. I had allergy service to do the seeds or whatever you call it, you know. And I still got, I put more grass seed and good dirt on it and everything else. And I still got all these bare spots. And some I couldn't do nothing. So I put the disease down. The allergy service told me. Then he came out in September and reseeded the yard. But I still got most of all these bare spots. And it looked like the more grass seed I put down trying to get it, you know, I mean, I bought the stuff they said for bare spots. I kept it water and everything else. But I can't get these spots to grow in the grass seed. And I put the pre-made myrtle down, you know, last month or whatever month that they told me, you know. And I'm just trying to figure out what's going on.
It sounds like just your soil is not in good shape.
So what kind of soil do you think I should use?
I think you should get a couple inches of compost and work it into these spots that you're having trouble with. So in other words, dig it down into the ground before you put any more seed, before you do anything else.
Okay, where would I have to get the compost? Can I buy it? I bought that other compost, that organic compost. Is that the same stuff?
Yeah, you can go to St. Louis Composting, or, you know, just make sure that the bag that when you open up the bag of compost, it's not super wet or soggy. Because that's not going to be to the advantage. Because it should be damp, but not wet. Okay. And we do have phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We'll be back after these messages.
I'd like to be
Yes, folks, we have phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Tracy and I were in a store the other day, and I noticed they had a lot of cyclamen, which is a house plant, basically. There is a hardy variety of cyclamen, which when I worked at the Botanical Garden in the English Woodland Garden, we had a stand of that. But these are more or less the tropical cyclamen. That's one of my favorite plants for this time of year. And what you want to do is if you do like the cyclamen and you do purchase one, they need to have a cooler temperature situation. And a bright light as well. So they can take an unheated porch. That's cool, unless it gets below freezing. And if it does, which I don't think it would be the case. But one thing you need to do as well is keep the soil, the potting mix, moist, not overly wet. And they do appreciate a regular fertilization while they're in flower. So let's head over to Sherry's yard. Hi, Sherry.
Yes, hi. This is an inside plant. And in the base of the plant, it seems like it is building up too much water, and it dies off, and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not watering. I haven't watered in a whole month, and it's still doing that.
Now, what makes you think it's a watering circumstance then?
Because it's mushy at the bottom. It's mushy at the base of the plant, and it looks like it's rotten.
So it sounds like the pot that it's growing in doesn't have any drainage hole in the bottom.
Let me look. Okay.
And if that's the case, you need to get a pot with a drainage hole in the bottom, and then you can get a saucer and put a saucer underneath it.
It has the drainage holes at the bottom, and the bottom, it's a pot within a pot.
Okay.
And it shows no moisture or anything, but
the rest of the plant is half of the plant that's doing this. The other half is fine.
Well, you know, I don't understand how the potting mix, unless you got potting soil instead of a potting mix.
Oh, that's what it is.
Because potting soil holds moisture.
Okay.
So in the future, make sure you get a potting mix.
Okay. So should I just take all of the soil around it off?
And yes, then... I would.
Okay. Okay. And then I have a lily plant, and it seems everywhere I put it, it burns. So should I just put it in a dark room? Because I put it in the bathroom, the leaves are burning. I put it in the living room where it had blocked windows, the leaves are burning. So should I just put it in a room that doesn't have the windows open at all?
You mean as far as letting sunlight in?
Yeah.
That shouldn't really be happening. So to me, again, it goes back to moisture related to causing the foliage problem. It's not anything related to the sun.
So it would cause it to burn like that because they're burning at all the tips. Even the young leaves that are coming in have burnt tips.
Right. And that's because of the moisture in the in the potting mix or potting soil that you're growing it in.
Wow. It came from the store like this.
Well, that's unfortunate, but if this is happening in all these different circumstances, to me, that doesn't say sunlight. That says a situation, and especially if this is in a house plant in the inside of a window, that's would have to be some intense sun before it's going to actually cause the foliage to be damaged, like you're discussing.
Wow.
Or disgusting. Disgusting.
I'm disgusting. I'm doing this to these plants.
Right.
Okay. Well, thanks so much. This has been a big help. So I'll get some potting mix today then.
Yes. Good luck with that. And David, could you do it kind of quick?
Yeah, we got planted a big wildflower patch. And I'm thinking about, I'm taking it all down now. Should I throw these on the mulch pile, or will these seeds start germinating through all that mulch?
In mulch, that's probably not the best thing you can possibly do. So just cut it. They have seed heads on them?
Yes.
I would say just, cut the seed heads and just let them drop where they are growing.
Okay. Beat them off there, then throw the rest in the pile.
Right, exactly. Throw the stem and, any of the foliage and all that other stuff. But, leave the seed heads there.
Good, then I don't have to buy any next year.
Hopefully so.
Okay, that was quick for you.
All right, great. Well, thanks. Yeah, and... I don't think, Jeff, unfortunately, I don't think we can get you in time. So you can go. Oh, okay. Go ahead, Jeff, then.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
You were, somebody called in and said they couldn't get rid of grass out of their liriope, but there is a product that works. It's called Grass Be Gone. And it's one of those selective grass killers. And liriope is not a grass. It won't hurt liriope. So you can actually kill it. And if it's a perennial, you got to spray it a couple times, but it beats pulling it. And you actually can control grassy weeds in liriope.
Wow, great. Well, thanks for the insight.
Okay. Like your show, Mike.
Oh, well, thank you. So Grass Be Gone. And if you're heading out to your favorite garden center and you find that they still have tulip bulbs available, you can still plant your tulips. This is the time of year the tulips want to be installed. The other spring flowering bulbs like daffodils and crocus and hyacinths and things like that could be you should have installed them a little bit later. But tulips, for some reason, they like to be planted later in the season when the ground has really started to cool down. And then there's just, with the tulips, you want to put them down about 4 inches or so. And you just want to make sure that the location that you put them in is very well drained. And that's with any of the bulbs. None of the bulbs really like a wet soil circumstance. So once, if the soil is too wet, it's going to be like the lady that called that was having trouble with a lot of her plants, you know, potted plants. It's just because there's too much moisture, and so they can't take that. You can go to your favorite garden center, too, and trees and shrubs can still be planted now. There's not a problem doing that at all. So 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120.
Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Thank you, Scott. And this is the KMOX Garden Hotline Tip of the Trowel Hour, which is a special on-air recognition for individual, group, or situation that's made an impression on me during this past week. And it's brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. But right now, if you have any ideas, questions, concerns, or comments, just give us a call. Drew will answer the phone. He just needs your first name, and then he'll get you up on the computer screen, and then I can talk to you in a couple minutes. And again, that phone number is 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Tip of the trowel goes out to all the people that are working to make this Veterans Day just as cool and fun as possible. And, you know, one thing that I kind of have missed is my father was a Navy veteran, and this is a time of year where he sold, which he wasn't really a let's say, a public-type person, but they had little poppies. Red poppies is a symbol for actually World War II, as in Flanders Fields, there's, you know, so Red Poppies was, it's a poem. And they just kind of, it was a symbol for World War I, and they just continued on Veterans Day to sell these. And they were plastic with a wire stem, and you just kind of, you know, it just was to the advantage. It helped the veterans out in general, but I have not seen them in the last 2 years, so I don't know if that's a tradition that's no longer, that happens or not. So anyway, my father, you know, one of the few things that he actually did, you know, from a public circumstance. And another thing related to Veterans Day is just all the people that are downtown for Soldiers Memorial and everything else. There's quite a nice gathering. Everything seems really pretty calm and peaceful, though, so you don't have to worry about being over-impacted by the crowd. And by the way, thanks for inviting me onto your show, where discussions can range from making a selection of a plant material for a specific location, how to care for it, how big it's going to get, should you be putting it there in the first place, or are you going to have to constantly be pruning on it or anything else? How about the pansies? They can handle it pretty well as far as the cool weather. If it gets super cold, then they're going to be gone. But the herbs still look good. Rosemary looks very good. And fruit trees, evergreens, ground covers, perennials, cascading houseplants. How about your warm season zoysia grass? Should be getting pretty brown by now. And your roses, I'm surprised as I walk through the neighborhood, there are still several roses that are still in bloom, and I mean really looking good. And it's not just the knockout roses, it's the traditional type roses too. Now, they're in protected locations, close to houses and things like that, but it's really kind of a nice surprise to see that bright, these were, you know, red roses. And please remember, my answers, comments, and opinions is not the only garden path for you to take, but strictly offered for you to consider. And another very important player is Drew. He's producing. He answers the phone, so just your first name, that's all he needs. And then he'll put you up onto the computer screen, and I'll get to you. First come, first serve. I'm Mike Miller, hosting the Garden Hotline since 1994. And if you'd like for me to come to your home for an on-site consultation, which I call a walk and talk, You can go to my website, homepage will have my email address and phone number. And that, as I said before, the tip of the trowel just goes out to all the people that are doing all the work related to Veterans Day today. And let's go now to the phones. We can get the, let's head over to Gloria's. Hi, Gloria.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm fighting with all these bare spots in my yard. I had allergy service to do the seeds or whatever you call it, you know. And I still got, I put more grass seed and good dirt on it and everything else. And I still got all these bare spots. And some I couldn't do nothing. So I put the disease down. The allergy service told me. Then he came out in September and reseeded the yard. But I still got most of all these bare spots. And it looked like the more grass seed I put down trying to get it, you know, I mean, I bought the stuff they said for bare spots. I kept it watered and everything else. But I can't get rid of get these spots to grow in the grass seed. And I put the pre-made myrtle down, you know, last month or whatever month that they told me, you know. And I'm just trying to figure out what's going on.
It sounds like just your soil is not in good shape.
So what kind of soil do you think I should use?
I think you should get a couple inches of compost and work it into these spots that you're having trouble with. So in other words, dig it down into the ground before you put any more seed, before you do anything else.
Okay, where would I have to get the compost? Can I buy it? I bought that other compost, that organic compost. Is that the same stuff?
Yeah, you can go to St. Louis Composting or, you know, just make sure that the bag that when you open up the bag of compost, it's not super wet or soggy. Because that's not going to be to the advantage. It should be damp, but not wet.
Okay, if I get the, can I use the organic that I bought compost?
It's just so it's not really wet.
No, it's not wet. It's in my garage. I just bought 3 bags.
Okay, so yeah.
Help.
Just make sure you work it into this existing soil. You just don't lay it on top of the ground.
And they have got some grass seed that I've seen in Lowe's and stuff, and the seed has got the seeds and the dirt in it. Is that any good?
I would be a little bit concerned about that.
Okay. So when you go to St. Louis Compost, do you buy the stuff in bags or you have to buy a bunch of it?
No, they should have some in bags.
So you say it's in Kirtwood?
Yeah. Yeah, Valley Park.
I was in Valley Park.
Yeah, there's locations all over. So just go to the website, stlcompost.com, to find the location nearest to you. And let's see. Let's head over to Carl's before we take a break. Hi, Carl.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Hey, about a month ago, I talked to you, and I had picked up 30, I'd gotten as a gift 30 buckeye seeds. And you said, go ahead and plant about 15 of them, which I did. And the others I put in the refrigerator, and checking them this morning, I saw the two of them had sprouted. Now what do I do?
Go ahead and stick those in the ground.
Really? So don't pot them, but put them in the ground.
Just give them a try in the ground.
Okay. And just out of curiosity, the ones that I did plant, you know, I got rid of the sod, of course, and tried to work up the soil. I put them down about 2 or 3 inches. Is that good this time of the year?
Yeah, this should be fine. You don't want to, I wouldn't put them, you know, my tendency would be a little bit more the 2 inches rather than the 3 inches.
Oh, okay.
Because basically what you're trying to do is you're trying to duplicate what nature does. So when they drop naturally off the tree, they don't go down deep into the soil.
True. Yeah. Okay. Makes perfect sense. Thank you very much.
Sure. My pleasure. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages. Yes, back to the phones we go, and let's head over to Gloria's. Hi, Gloria.
Good
interested in knowing how long we should keep watering the lawns, the trees, and the plants.
As long as it stays dry.
I know, but I mean, until we get some rain, is it still every week for about an inch worth of water?
Yeah, I mean, that's to the advantage of the plant material. We have a tough time to grow stuff here anyway. And if we get a drought stress and then we get a really severe cold snap, it's going to do some major damage to the plant's root systems.
I'm the only one in the neighborhood that continues watering, but that's okay, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, that's up to you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure. And now this, Zyla, how are you?
Hey, I need to know how to prepare my large pots that are outside and too heavy to move inside. I live in Illinois. How do I prepare these pots so they won't bust?
So, are they ceramic pots?
Yes.
Ooh. That's not such a good deal. But basically, are they? Do they still have potting mix in them or anything? Or
yes. Yes, they've been beautiful all summer. I've cut all the foliage away. I'm down to the surface of the pot with the soil.
Okay. So I would say just leave them alone.
You don't cover them over with plastic, burlap, landscape fabric?
No, that's not going to really help all that much as far as the actual, you know, quality of the, you know, ceramic material that they're made out of. So you definitely don't want to do the plastic because, or, you know, sheets of plastic or anything like that, because that is going to create a humid problem, humidity,
yeah,
and that's going to ruin your potting mix.
Okay.
So I would say just maybe pull them up underneath the eave of your house and just, you said they're too big to move, so there's really not too much you can do.
Okay. Does it make sense to pile a bunch of leaves on top of the soil at all?
No, it won't help at all. It won't help the pot whatsoever.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure, my pleasure. And let's see what's going on in Cindy's yard. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good.
I wanted to call about a bonsai tree. I'm wanting to try my hand at one, and I wondered if you had any helpful hints on how to take care of them and where in the St. Louis area I might be able to find them.
As far as finding them, I don't know. What I would do is go to the Missouri Botanical Garden website, and the Bonsai Society meets at the Botanical Garden, and they should have some contact information, and I would go that direction.
Okay, very fine. And do you have any hints on take care of those?
They're a little bit difficult to, you know, to care for from the standpoint they need bright light.
Okay.
They need, you know, the soil that they're growing in is, you just have to keep it, you know, kind of damp, not wet. The tendency is for people to overwater them, and that's where the trouble comes in.
Okay. But, all right. Well, very good. I'm glad you pointed me to the society through the garden. I didn't realize they had one there, so that'll be helpful.
Right. And, I mean, it's a really group of people that have been growing bonsai trees for a long, long time. So they've got these little tips and tricks and things like that that's going to make a big difference.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Yep. Have a good afternoon.
Same to you. And so the website for the Botanical Garden is mobot, that's mobot.org, O-R-G. And let's see what's going on in Art's yard. Hi, Art.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call there, Mike. Yeah, this might help people that want to plant their bulbs in a wet place. Is it to put some sand underneath the bulbs to absorb the moisture? I read that. Okay, thank God I'm always able to place my bulbs where I know it's going to be fairly dry. And let me say this to you, General Eisenhower and MacArthur would have been proud of you when you made that last remark when you left the public lands down there. General MacArthur, when he would have the boys up for the Friday night movie, he would hand his Pabst Blue Ribbon bottle and tell the boys, okay, let's clean up here. And MacArthur and General Eisenhower always said, leave the place a better place for your being there. When you told the people when you left, you remember that you said, okay, let's get it cleaned up here. Your military bearing was showing.
Well, thanks, Art.
Yeah. This... Long life to you, Mike.
Okay, thank you. And let's head over to Bill's yard now. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for your service, and happy Veterans Day to all of them. But I've been having asparagus regrow after I cut it off. So I've ate some and cut some off. What should I have done? Probably just leave it all, huh?
Yeah. Well, you could... Did you say you cut it and then you actually cooked it?
No, I cut some of the bigger ones, but there were some spears that were just starting to come, and so I ate them.
Right. Well, that sounds good.
And then, is there anything I should do extra to the asparagus, or just I've cut it all off now?
Yeah, no, it's fine. Just leave it alone.
And then the second thing I have is I started some hollyhocks when we went out to New Mexico in little pots, and they're still green, and I've been bringing them in and out. Do you think they'll survive the winter as I bring them in and out of the garage and house?
Well, that's kind of a lot of work. Hollyhocks are pretty tough. I don't know, what size pot are they in?
They're only in an inch and a half or 2 inch pot.
Oh, so they're really small.
They're real small.
Yeah. So, I mean, what you could do is if you have windows in your garage, you can put them in the windows.
Okay.
And then you won't have to move them in and out. And then just through the wintertime, just keep them kind of, you know, again, damp, not wet.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate all your information. You've got me out of a lot of binds.
Well, thanks. And now let's head over to another Bill's yard. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Hi, Mike. I have a juniper bush I want to move. It's maybe like knee-high, 5 foot diameter. And I was reading about root pruning. Do you think that helps the odds of success quite a bit to go through that process?
No, it's more trouble than it's worth. I would say just get as much root system as you possibly can. And then because there's going to be some disadvantage to moving it from the standpoint of some of the feeder roots. And just make sure the location you put it in is really well drained and in a sunny location.
Yeah. Okay. There was a twin to it that last year I was going to try the root pruning, and I dug around it. It was very early spring, and I really wasn't seeing any feeder roots. Which was surprising. So anyway, the upshot is I went ahead and moved it then, and it did fine. It did pretty good. It's looking pretty healthy. So I think I'll do the same thing next spring, I guess, early. So, okay, great. Thank you.
Sounds perfect. And we have some phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
Jiving and loves me. Coffee and tea.
314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's head over to Mark's yard. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good.
This is kind of a two-part question. I don't want to take up too much of your time. One is in regards to trimming trees. I've heard both in the spring or in the fall. I've got a weeping cherry that is just getting ungainly. And I also have a Japanese maple that I'm actually making into almost a little Japanese garden. So I'm trying to do some origami with it type thing. So do I trim in the spring or in the fall?
Basically, with the maple group in general, all the maples, whether they're Japanese, whether they're silver, whether they're sugar, whether they're red, they prefer to be pruned in the wintertime.
Okay.
And then something like the weeping cherry, you're basically growing that, yes, for the shape of the tree, but also for the flowering aspect. So the best time to prune those is right after they finish flowering.
Okay, because it was horrible last year. Now, second part of my question, I have two palms, tropical palms, that I put outside in the summer, gray inside in the winter, and they're getting very stalky, like real tall and limber, thin, like trunk type, I guess you would call it, and heavy at the top. How do I take care of that?
Nothing you can do, to be honest. It's just an aging factor, and that's just how they grow. And even cutting them, let's say, back severely or something like that, you're not going to get any new growth to be generated as a result of that. So you're not, this is what happens. They have an aesthetic value of X amount of years. So if you've had them for a considerable amount of time, then it's time to kind of think about some new ones.
Okay, yeah, they started out as 4-inch starter pots, and now they are almost 2.5. And yeah, they're just getting really stalky.
Right. The only thing you could do is to figure out what variety that is. Take a picture. Take it to your favorite garden center that sells has greenhouses and sells tropical type plants,
right,
and get some small ones and put them in the same pot with these.
Oh, okay.
And that way you'll have the growth, some growth at the bottom, right, from the new ones, and then you have the growth from the the existing ones.
I just use actually spider plants in the bottom of the pot.
Oh,
because you can't kill spider plants.
No, they're pretty tough.
So I use that as a filler in the bottom.
Okay.
I wish I could spend all morning on, because I have so many questions, but I'll let you get back to your other guests. Okay. And I appreciate your help.
Sure, my pleasure. And 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Veterans Day has had a long, long history. It actually started off way, 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 way back when, and it was armistice, and it was related to the World War One, and it was a time when the Allied nations and Germany were in this war known as the Great War, and it basically a lot of the countries involved, let's say, took a armistice date, and they chose November 11th, 1918. And then that was when Woodrow Wilson was the president. Lots of different changes through the years as a result of that. And finally, it was changed from Armistice Day to Veterans Day. And back in, let's see, when was this? In 1954. It was November 11th became the day to honor American veterans of all wars. And that was President Eisenhower. Is that right? Yeah. Dwight Eisenhower signed that legislation in 1954. And then the next development of the story of Veterans Day unfolded in 1968 when Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act. And what that was, it was to ensure three-day weekends for federal employees and to encourage tourism and travel by celebrating four national holidays, Washington's birthday, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and Columbus Day on Mondays. And the observation of Veterans Day was set on the fourth Monday in October. And the first Veterans Day under the new law was Monday, October 25th. There was some confusion as a result of that, and many states disapproved of this change and continued to observe the holiday at the original date, which was the 11th of November. So in 75, it became evident that the actual day for Veterans Day had historic and patriotic significance for many Americans. And President Gerald Ford signed a new law returning the observation of Veterans Day to November 11th, 1978. And if November 11th falls on a Saturday or Sunday, then the federal government observes the holiday either the previous Friday or Monday following, respectively. So there's all kinds of different things. Government offices are closed on Veterans Day, and lots of great other crazy things going on as a result of that, like races and parades and all kinds of stuff, just like what's going on down here downtown in St. Louis. So if you do have any questions or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. So other things that you need to be thinking about with the gentleman with the houseplant that's, with his palm tree, it's great to have success, to have something get large and, understanding that, palm trees have trunks and the trunk is not going to be all that attractive and the foliage is going to be at the very top. So that's something to consider. And as I said to him, it gets to be certain times when you've had plants and they've aged to the point where they've lost their, let's say, aesthetic value as far as what you're concerned with. Should you be doing any kind of fertilizing this time of year? Well, you should have probably already finished. Even winterizing fertilizer, I would say it's getting a little bit late to be doing that. So let's head over to Linda's yard. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Happy Veterans Day. Thank you for serving.
Sure.
I've been listening to you since 94. I have a question. Are you familiar with the Thuja, Thuja, green giant trees?
Sure.
What is your opinion on them as a windbreak?
Well, I mean, they get massive. There's some in my neighborhood that were some of the first ones that were available and the people bought them. And they're probably maybe about 20, a little bit over 20 feet high, maybe the lower 20s. 30 feet is going to be their maximum, but as they have grown, they get thinner. And so as far as a windbreak, I don't know, how good they actually are.
Okay. What about as a privacy screen?
They're pretty good. I mean, they got them about 10 feet apart. So they woven together a little bit, but it's not bad.
Okay. All right. Okay. I had pine trees there for 20 years, and I had to have them taken down. And so now I'm looking for something for a privacy screen, and I was just wanting your opinion on that.
Yeah.
So okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the green giant is, they are relatively fast growing as far as all the arborvitae are concerned. Techni arborvitae just happens to be my, favorite, but that's my own personal, choice.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And they grow tall and...
Well, they're only going to get about 10 feet high.
Oh, okay.
And they're not as fast growing as the green giant.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. 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 Thank you very much.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages. And 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's head over to Barb's yard. Hi, Barb.
Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
Question, I can't think of the technical name, airplane plant.
Mm-hmm.
It's packed solid, in other words, that when I try to test the soil, it's so packed soil, hard in there, can't get in. Can I just cut it in half, or do I separate all the plants?
Well, you can do it that way. It's in a pot, correct?
Correct.
You can just pull it.
6-inch pot.
Yeah.
Yes?
Just pull it out of the pot, shake it, as much of the soil off, or, water it to get as much of the existing soil off of it. Get a 2-inch pot. a pot that's 2 inches larger, and then put your potting mix down in there.
Just not separate them?
You don't need to.
Oh, okay, because it's so, like I say, it's so packed that I can't even test the soil. So, okay. I never thought about doing that. I figured they needed to be separated.
No, you separate them just because you want to, not because it's to the advantage of the plant.
No, I have another one I don't need anymore. Can I do that this time of the year? It's in the house, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's not great to be doing it this time of year because the days are getting shorter and shorter and shorter, but they don't need a whole lot of light.
They're in a heated sunroom. They get quite a bit of light.
Oh, great. Well, that's perfect.
But I didn't realize they were so packed in there till I went to test the soil.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
My pleasure. And now let's go over to Sue's yard. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I was wondering what you would suggest as far as a miniature tree to go next to a house so that the root system didn't go into the concrete.
Miniature, what are you talking about, miniature? How small is miniature to you?
Like a Japanese maple or something like that.
Yeah, that should be fine. Just don't put it too close to the house. Just make sure that, there's certain varieties of Japanese maples that get, 10 to 12 to 15 feet high and with an equal spread. So just watch out about putting anything within 8 to 10 feet of the house, regardless of how big it is, unless you're talking about something like an Alberta spruce, which is really small.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're better off to, leave space for the branching and for everything else. And don't be overly concerned with the idea that the root system is going to impact your foundation or your house. And Danny, how are you today?
Hello.
Hi.
I would like to know of a good fertilizer, of a fertilizer that you can use for anything. I don't want to buy a different kind. And I also want to know, what is a good flowering vine?
Flowering vine, you mean a perennial vine or an annual vine?
Well, I'd like one that comes for every year.
Okay, so probably as long as you're willing to, sort of invest about 3 years of time, look at the clematis. There are several different varieties of the clematis. That's probably, the one that I would pick as far as a flowering vine. And as far as fertilizing goes, look at Milorganite. That's Milorganite.
And how do you say it?
Milorganite. So it's like
Milandromat.
No, Milorganite.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. Yeah, Milorganite's just, it's basically out of Milwaukee, and it's a low analysis type of soil, fertilizer, and it can be used on lots of different things. So Milorganite. Other things that you need to be thinking about, just kind of in general, when your perennials, maybe they're still doing well. I'm surprised that so many are, even just walking around the Soldiers Memorial, the catmint and the Russian sage were still in flower and still looking pretty darn good. Once, you have some perennials that start looking, let's say, a little bit frosty, go ahead and cut back the foliage. If you've had plants like iris, the flags, that type thing, yes, you can go ahead and cut them back to about 2 inches or so. If it's a classic flags, the Japanese or the Siberian iris really don't need to be cut. They can be, but you don't have to. Your ornamental grasses, they still are looking pretty darn good. I haven't seen, those guys heading towards the winter circumstance yet. So once they do, or once they start sort of like shattering and dropping blades all over the place, what I, you know, I don't have any ornamental grasses now, but historically what I did is I just put a bungee cord around them, and then I use a hedge trimmer, and I cut them off, depending upon the variety, to either like 4 inches high or 6 or 8 inches high. Some of the maiden grasses are the ones that I, you know, had higher. And just realize with the ornamental grasses, they are clump growers. So the new growth next year is going to come on the perimeter, on the edges. And then the center is going to have no new growth, no new blades at all. So as time goes on, you're ultimately going to have to, if you do have a miscanthus or a main grass or several different varieties, you're going to have to dig it up, chop the center out, which won't have any blades in it, and then go ahead and replant the perimeter, because that's where the new growth is going to come from. Other things that you need to be, I'm going to reemphasize the fact that you still got plenty of time to do some mulching. Just don't do too much mulch. Too much mulch too deep can cause problems for all kinds of different plants, woody plants and herbaceous plants as well. So if it's too deep, trees and shrubs up to about 4 inches or so, don't pile it up on the trunks of even the trees. It's not to the advantage of the tree to do that. So, but you've got all winter long, you got, you know, another month or two to get the mulch down. And it just helps conserve moisture and keeps the soil temperatures much more even, because those fluctuations, that tears feeder roots apart. So thanks to everybody for calling in. Thanks to all the veterans out there. Greatly appreciate all that you have done for our country. And I will see you next week.